Well, are human ETs living among us? Robert Stanley with us. We'll take your questions, and maybe you've seen one of these. You want to share the story? Back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. George Norrie with you, Robert Stanley. Robert, if they're living covertly among us, how would we know who they are?
Yeah, I don't think we would unless they, well, like I said, I mean, I've interviewed one of them. I suspect there's more. Like I just told you, I stumbled across this guy's website claiming he is, or she, I actually don't know who this person is. I'm trying to contact them now that I found them. And actually, I would encourage any extraterrestrials listening to this show, living here, either contact George or myself, and let's have a dialogue. I think this is how it's going to happen. You know, we have to make them feel safe enough to come out, as it were, and begin a dialogue with us.
Yeah, that's true. They're going to have to do that. There's no doubt. But will they?
Only if we work with them. I mean, you know, like, I certainly don't want anything bad to happen to them. I mean, this is hostile territory for them, so they have to be careful. But I think that a lot of you, if you, now that we know this, I think generally people are going to start wondering, how is it, you know, that certain persons can, like, read my mind, or some of these amazing abilities, like, you know, healing, things that are truly unusual. Sometimes that's a giveaway, but it's still not conclusive proof. So I don't think, like, I don't want to cause a lot of people to, you know, be paranoid or suspicious, but I do think that, you know, they're here for a reason. Most of them, I believe, are here to help. So it would be good if we just opened up a dialogue with them, like I said, because the government's not going to disclose. And I mean, we can't trust anything the government says pretty much anyway. So why ask them to tell us what's going on?
That's true.
They may not even know. They might even not even know. For
well,
sure.
That's a possibility. That's a true possibility. And yeah. Or they may have, you know, they may not be able to stop it either.
Well, clearly not. I mean, it's not like we have a big fence out there. Anybody can come in if they want to. Whether or not they can live among us effectively, that's another question. But I think they are. I mean, my experiences tell me that they are. And I told you, my wife, too. She, you know, look, the people down in near the city of Puno at Lake Titicaca, they ain't been talking. They because they've been videotaping these UFOs, and people, villagers there say, yeah, there's a city under the ground there, that these people have been living there a long time, long, long, long time. And they, from what my wife told me, was that the people living in the so-called alien base, they look just like the people, any other Peruvian. They can walk down the street. You're not going to know, unless you really look them in the eye, you're not going to notice anything unusual about them.
All right, let's go to the phones here for you. Let's pick it up by going to first-time caller Tim in Santa Monica, California. Hey, Tim, thanks for calling.
Oh, hey, thank you, George and Mr. Stanley. It's really an honor. I've been listening about 10 years at least now, and so it's great to finally get
thank
to.
Thank you.
But, you know, I ran into a gentleman. His name was Cornell. I haven't seen him. He's kind of disappeared on me, but he was talking about reptilians. He said he used to work at the Pentagon many, many years ago. And he said he used to overhear people talking about, because he said he's just mainly doing clerical work, talking about underground bases, about reptilians, and so forth. So it kind of piqued my interest. So I work at the airport. I work at LAX. And I've been telling you that the people, some of the people that I see, especially TSA people, it's either a fixed stare or the eyes are darting where they just kind of refuse to make a connection with you. And I've been hearing about this more and more, people hard to connect with. You know, we just can't make a connection with them. And I'm telling you, I have one lady, she really looked reptilian to me. She's only about 5 feet tall. Her waist was only about 12 inches around. She was concave. Maybe she had scoliosis or something. But the oddest part was she had shaved off her eyebrows and painted in these Vulcan-type So I'm telling you, though, they're very distant and reclusive, most of them, and also very many mixed breeds. I mean, there are some people you can say, oh, yeah, that's an Afro-American person, or that's Hispanic, or that's Caucasian. But more times than not, I notice that they're, you know, could be like part Samoan, part Eskimo, part who knows. They just don't look like regular folks.
Well, go ahead, Robert.
I don't think you can just tell by the appearance. You have to judge by the behavior, the dialogue, the interaction. Since you're in Santa Monica, I got to tell you though, I have seen UFOs right over the rooftops there. So I don't think they're just sightseeing. They're clearly dropping off, picking up, or both. And that was 1991 when I was living there.
Okay, next we go to Brian, Seattle, Washington. Hey, Brian, welcome to the show. Go ahead.
Yeah, I've called in several times about this. I know where there's a real picture of an actual reptilian gray. And I was wondering if I could tell you how to find it on the internet. It's not I'm not selling anything.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm telling you, this is real. I've called in several times about it. George, you remember Roger Lear actually called in at one point after I called?
That's right.
This is, if everybody just Googles Mario Valdez with an S, OVNI after that. So Mario Valdez with an S, OVNI, OVNI. This is actual real footage of gray aliens that were seen in a UFO that was hovering over the sea in Turkey.
Oh, I've seen that. Yeah, Dr. Lear was promoting that. Yeah, I've seen that.
It's real. It hasn't been debunked. Maybe, George, if you can look at it. George, do you think you can tell your producers, maybe do a show on it?
Yeah, we'll check into that.
Have you seen it?
I have not.
Mario Valdez with an S, OVNI, O-V-N-I in Google. Do it in Google, and it's the first website that shows up.
Okay, we'll check into that. Always new things popping up, Robert.
Well, no, that's not new, George. That's been around for a while, and it is an amazing video if it's real. It reminds me of what was described at the millennial celebration right there on the mall in Washington, D.C. Allegedly, there was not only UFOs, but those triangular craft that he's describing in that video, that's exactly what one of the witnesses reported seeing up close. He said you could look right inside and see the the gray piloting the craft.
The gray, yeah. Piloting the craft.
Well, he said it actually looked blue. It was, but he said it was the typical, you know, the bug-eyed, the small bug-eyed, you know, the gray alien, what we call grays. They were piloting. Excuse me.
Don't lose that voice, Robert. I need you for 40 more minutes.
Yeah, I'm standing out here in the garage now talking to you myself. Anyway, we had some problems before, so I'm standing out here on my cell phone, trying not to wake up everybody. The guy reported that these stunt craft is the way he described them, because they were doing these crazy maneuvers over the, you know, hundreds of thousands of people at the mall about 1 o'clock in the morning. Things were breaking up, but not really. Not everybody had dispersed yet. And the larger cigar-shaped motherships passed over, and then came some helicopters after that, and then came these triangular silent stunt. He calls them stunt craft because they were performing, like, you know, the stunt kites, how they do those crazy maneuvers?
Yeah.
He said that's what they were doing, over the people's heads, swooping on the crowd.
Alex is in Seattle, Washington. Go ahead, Alex.
Gentlemen, good morning. I want to first start off by saying that I'm a fierce proponent of Mr. Lloyd Pye's argument that we are star children. But, you know, I've been listening to the transmission here, and I haven't heard any single piece of factual evidence that Mr. Stanley has presented that says that he's talked to aliens. And then when you look at the actual argument here, why would they be here? You're saying that aliens walk among us. Okay, well, what is the motivation for them to be here? You know, if they're such omnipotent beings, and they're so
all right,
different than us, why would they be here? Why wouldn't they be in some other some other star system or some other planet. What is it that makes Earth so unique?
This is a great planet, don't you think, Robert? It's got everything here.
Obviously we got problems, but the planet itself is beautiful. It's an oasis in a desert. If you look at the rest of the solar system, this will be the place to come. If you wanted to come for some rest and relaxation or just resources, there's so many resources on this planet. So this is, I'm not surprised that somebody's being critical. You know, I can take whatever criticism is thrown at me, but I challenge this person to disprove what I'm saying. If you look at the information that I posted, including photographs and interviews, I mean, Alex, has anybody else interviewed a human extraterrestrial? Not that you know of, because nobody else has done it. You know, I mean, I was the first. And there was a reason for that, because I was open to it. I'm not threatening them. I don't know why you're considering yourself an advocate, and yet you're a pessimist too about this whole thing.
For all we know, Robert, they've called into the program before. Who knows?
Absolutely, it's possible. We don't know, and that's the whole thing. We're just trying to figure this thing out based on the evidence. Some of it's circumstantial, some of it is absolutely concrete.
Let's go back to Andy now, Los Angeles, California. Andy, go ahead.
Yeah, great job, George. And your guest is very intriguing. I have a friend of mine who, a businessman who has a Hispanic friend who claims that he and his wife had a child that was so-called harvested from his wife just before the birth. And they are convinced, both of them, that source of that abduction was from out of this world, or alien, if you want to call it. Secondly, I don't think there's anyone on this earth that would dispute the fact that anyone from anywhere who would abduct a child and replace it with something else, whatever that might be, that's kidnapping. And I don't think anyone or any group or organization from this world or out of this world could be classified as our friends if they're taking our kids.
I agree with that. They probably play with different rules, though.
Absolutely. And thirdly, isn't it time that if this is a fact, and if it's not a lot of people imagining things, and I don't believe it is, I believe it's real, if this phenomena is a fact, if UFOs are being reported to different agencies and private groups, as one of your friends, George, collects this data, isn't it time that an organization is started to have people report this phenomena, start keeping tabs on it, and gathering information? And also, some of the most brilliant minds in the country, some of whom have been your guests, shouldn't they start giving out advice on what people can do to protect themselves from this phenomena, if there is something that can be done? Because we're dealing with forces, if it's really true, really happening, that are far beyond our human understanding. And I think it goes to a spiritual level. I think we're into a spiritual warfare. And I think we're going into a clandestine type of takeover of our planet. Very clever, very diabolical. And if we don't get together and wake up and start using our minds, we may be replaced or taken over. Thank you so much.
What do you think of that, Robert? We might be taken over.
Yeah. That happened a long time ago. My understanding is that there are different factions. They fight amongst each other. They've done a lot of damage to this world and other worlds. So, this is one of the reasons that the good guys are here covertly. I told you when we first met 6 years ago that the bad guys were in control. That's one of the reasons we're not having disclosure. It's one of the reasons we're not having open contact with the good guys, is because the bad guys are preventing it from happening. And they're here. They've been here a long, long, long time.
And they're very powerful, aren't they?
Well, to some extent, yeah. I mean, but, you know, secrecy is one of their allies. And so this is why I'm adamant about, exposing this as much as possible, as much as humanly possible, bringing this information to light, discussing it, sharing these clues or facts as we find them, try to make sense of it, and then move forward from there.
Do you have any doubts at all, Robert, that they're here?
No, absolutely not. And as far as proof, this is a radio show. I can't introduce you to any, I can't, you know, give you an artifact over the phone. I don't even have one, but I'll tell you, I've had contact. I know what I've experienced. Other people have said similar things. I don't think that we're all just imagining it, you know, and the evidence is there if you want to look for it. And but it's at the same token, if you want to be a pessimist or just skeptical or simply just angry about the whole thing, then you're really going to miss a lot of important information or opportunities.
Let's go next to Sarah in Danville, New York, east of the Rockies. Sarah, go ahead.
Hello. Thank you both very much for taking my call.
Sure thing.
It's actually Sheena, not Sarah. So that's okay. some things for you guys to think about. I think that there's a theory that maybe when they do come here, it is from infancy or from when the mother's pregnant, and that they don't know right away who they are even. They just think that they're a human, and they don't find out until they reach a certain point in their life where they receive some sort of wake-up call that's going to be understood to them, may not be seen as such to anyone else, but it will be understood to them. And then from there on, they just kind of go about what it is they're supposed to do. That's something that seems like it would make more sense to me. I think it'd be a little easier that way, being in a foreign land, don't you? I mean, what do you think about that?
Yeah, absolutely. That the human extraterrestrial living here that I interviewed didn't really know that he was an extraterrestrial until he was
a certain age, right?
Yeah, he was a teenager. He was walking in the woods in Kentucky, and a UFO showed up. Some humans got out. They started talking to him. And after a while, after they had sort of gained his confidence and he trusted him a little bit, they said, "You're going to discover soon, after your mother passes away, that you're one of us."
We get lots of reports from people about things like that as well.
I understand that. And, you know, because this was a covert program from day one. And it's just naive to think that we can sit here and have a conversation and just uncover everything. But as I said, by opening up it's a forum. It's by having an open forum and discussing this, I think we are on the vanguard. We are the pioneers. I don't know how to say it, but, you know, if you don't even talk about it, you know, people aren't, we're not going to make any progress on this subject.
Well, so a lot of people are afraid to talk about it.
Exactly. But see, you mentioned that fear thing. So what I had told you before last year when we spoke was about the Archons. There is apparently some level of entity that feeds off of our fear, the emotion, the energy that we generate during fear. So again, I was really strong. And look, I have a problem with my emotions just like any other human being.
We're humans. That's right.
Right. But if you look at some people that are evolved or enlightened, typically, they do not let their emotions control them. They control their emotions. In fact, George Adamski wrote a book about this, about telepathy, how to learn how to be telepathic. And he said one of the first things you got to do is to take control of your emotions.
Well, that is critical. We're coming back. Final phone calls next on Coast to Coast AM. Well, on our next Coast to Coast program, you know what? Friday into Saturday morning, open lines on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back with Robert Stanley, your phone calls. Robert, we were talking about that fear factor that's out there.
Yes.
You know, that's probably a very logical reason why, you know, these things are happening and people are holding back and everything else. I think they're petrified.
Paranoid for a good cause.
True.
You know, there is this power structure here, probably beyond this world as well. I mean, some people call it the Orion Empire. I do think it is empirical in nature, and it's contrary to what some people refer to as the Federation of Planets, that are all about peace and harmony and cooperation and openness.
Mm-hmm.
So, as I said, the conflict goes on, but secrecy is not helping any of us personally, as far as, you know, personal empowerment or enlightenment, evolution. We need to, again, this is why having a dialogue is so important. You know, it's the only way we're going to move forward, I think, beyond the secrecy and the lies that have been told.
And there have been many, haven't they?
Unfortunately. Yeah.
Of this entire phenomenon, and this is interesting, it's strange. What part of it is even tough for you to understand or comprehend or believe?
Oh, man. For me personally, is the relationship that we have with them, or that I've been having with them. It's very hard to describe, and it's taken me decades to try and understand and come to grips with it. Just like what started happening to Whitley around 1985, I was having things like that happening to me too. One of the things that happened was I met a guy who claimed he was my father, and that made no sense. It was shocking enough to see somebody that glows in the dark, let alone talking to me mentally saying, you know, I'm your father. I'm like, what? Are you what? You know, I mean, that made no sense to me whatsoever. And I'm not saying that I'm an extraterrestrial. I think everybody's soul is extra-dimensional. It's not completely bound to this earth plane. And we migrate. But it's, you know, the fact that there's this ridicule, okay, the ridicule factor that we have to deal with, the skepticism, skepticism, I had too much coffee this morning trying to stay awake. Skepticism is healthy, but this living in denial is not. Okay, secrecy for national security, I understand, but secrecy to continue a corruption and manipulation and just evil behavior, that's not acceptable. So we can't rely on those people to, you know, in other words, it's incumbent upon us to do what we can. But I also think it's important for us part of the reason I want to open this floor up to having a dialogue with these extraterrestrials, because I think they really are here to help. And they care about us very deeply. But because they're good, they don't want to impose their will on us. We have to ask for their assistance. We really have to be open to that. Otherwise, they can't do anything for us.
Good point. Let's take some final calls here. We go to Santa Barbara, California. Rick's turn, first of all. Go ahead, Rick.
Yeah, hi, George.
Hello there.
Good evening. Yes, I wanted to ask your guests, maybe you guys have noticed something. There's a YouTube, there's this, since you mentioned about Russia, you know, that the president of Russia said something about, you know, this extraterrestrial contact.
Yeah, that you missed the beginning of the show. That's exactly what we were talking about. It's out there. Would you, what, Robert, if you were with Medvedev, what would you ask him?
I can't, I'd, oof. Sorry. Who is the agency? Who are these people that supposedly are overseeing the extraterrestrial affairs? I mean, because clearly they're not elected officials. And nobody, they're not, they have no oversight whatsoever. Maybe that's not a good road to go down, but I'm very curious. I would love to know more about who these so-called men in black are and why they feel like they have to keep us from having a dialogue with basically our relatives from other worlds.
Good point. All right, next up we go to Jacksonville, Florida. Paul's turn, first-time caller. Paul, go ahead.
Hey, George, hey, glad you took my call, man. I've been trying to get you for a long time on this one.
Glad we did. Go ahead.
Yeah, and I hope y'all can help me with this, man, because when I was a child, about 5-6 years old, I used to go to my grandfather's farm for the summer all the time. Now, this was about 1965, 66 in Mansfield, Texas. I was out in the yard with my sister and my great-grandmother, and as we were out there, a huge ball of fire with smoke coming behind it, and it flew over the house, and we actually saw it coming, and at that time, we thought it was a comet or something. It was so giant, but my grandmother freaked out thinking it was the end of the world. She started running around the yard. Well, my sister and I ran in the house that it scared us so bad, and I went and opened up the door again to check on my grandmother, and when I did, the horizon and the sky was purple, and tarantulas started coming out of the ground by the thousands.
Whoa.
When I slammed the door and opened it back up, everything was blue skies like nothing ever happened. I'm 52 years old, and that has stuck with me my whole life. And people that I've told, half of them thought I was crazy. The other ones didn't know what to think. But that situation really stuck with me. and I never have understood it.
It sounds like missing time. Based on what little you told me, it sounds like you had missing time, which is fairly common with people that have had close encounters.
Well, missing time, like Barney and Betty Hill, that kind of missing time?
Yeah. Apparently, part of it is, I think that they, if I understand this correctly, the good guys usually will block part of our memory because they don't want us to live our lives in complete confusion or panic. And that's just, I have a feeling that's really what they're trying to do. It's actually, for our benefit sometimes when they block certain memories, it's too traumatic for us to deal with.
Robert in Houston, Texas. Go ahead, Robert. Thanks for calling.
Okay. Let me say something here. Okay. I have a hard time with you telling us Americans and us citizens of this world that these people are mean anything positive. Okay. Don't kidnap me. Don't kidnap my child. Don't try to think as if you're trying to take my mind away to help me out. I'm an American, first of all. I'm a Republican. I have the right to be on this side of the universe and use my mind. It's up to me to decide whether I'm going to be upset or I'm going to be shocked. Don't come in my brain and try to tell me what you think you're justifying you're doing. Obviously, if you don't want to show yourself as an alien, you want to come to my side of the galaxy, well, you know what? You're going to see me eye to eye. You're going to talk to me eye to eye as a person or as a species. I don't buy your justification. You're justifying that these guys have good intentions. Let me tell you something. Good intentions is not a peeping Tom. If you have good intentions, you're going to come to my doorstep or you're going to come to my citizens of this country or this world, and you're going to talk to us whether we're shocked or not. I have a hard time with all of these.
Well, you got a good point there. You got a real good point that whatever is happening, as David Jacobs would say, it's not a good thing. Maybe they're not all that friendly, Robert.
Yeah, but the energy that's coming off of that individual right there, if in fact there are good extraterrestrials on this world, they're not going to want to have a contact or any dialogue with that individual when he's in that state. He's not going to hear anything. He's so convinced that it's, and I am too. I know there's bad extraterrestrials, but the problem is, how do you discern between the two, and which one do you want to have a conversation with? If you're going to make demands, if you're going to be jumping up and down and being all pissed off, I guarantee you the good guys aren't going to want to talk to you. You're just not in the right frame of mind. You need to calm down before you're going to have any kind of contact at all.
Well, he's obviously upset.
And I don't blame him, but I'm telling you, getting upset isn't going to solve the problem. If anger was the answer, we would have solved the problem a long time ago. There's plenty of anger to go around. It isn't helping.
Okay, let's go back now. Who's up? John in Nashville, Tennessee, wildcard line. Hey, John, go ahead.
Good morning, George. You know, I'm listening to the previous caller. I understand. But your guest is looking for answers in our mind. We're looking for answers in books. We're calling them extraterrestrials when they're actually extra-dimensional beings. George, you've had Tom Horn on. Take it back to Genesis 6. We're dealing with spiritual warfare in the extreme. We're dealing with Nephilim, fallen angels, that according to Genesis chapter 6, the sons of God saw the daughters of men, and they bare children. They took wives. So they're getting better at it. Are they here? I believe absolutely they are. They may even be in our government. But to, like the previous caller said, if you're coming here and you're doing something in secret, then that may have a lot to explain about the secret societies, the Illuminati and the Freemasons and the other societies that are doing everything in secret. Because as a Christian, Christ never did anything secretly. He spoke in parables, but he didn't hide his actions. And we're looking, we're saying, well, they're here to help. And the men in black, well, why are they not men in white? Why are they men in black, folks? Think about this. I mean, they're here. Yeah, I believe they're here because they're creating wars. and this nation is being enslaved by a money system, and any nation that doesn't have a central bank is automatically on America's enemy list. The Bible tells us that the rich rule over the poor, and the borrower servant to the lender, and the love of money is the root of all evil. And the eyes, Satan tempted Christ with what his eyes beheld and said he could give it all to him. And we're thinking, well, no one else in the world's ever been tempted to get to have it all. Sell your soul to Satan and get a position in power or in a bank or have riches or fame or fortune. And we're saying, we're believing this Gene Roddenberry nonsense about flying saucers and good and bad aliens.
Well,
okay. Well, you know, on one hand, he said it's spiritual, and then on the other hand, he said that you know, they basically had sex with us and created, you know, hybrids. It may be both, but you also excluded the fact that a third of the angels are fallen. That means two-thirds of them are still good and connected to the Creator. Now, can we have conversations with them about them and what they can do for us, please? That's what I'm focused on.
You sound like you're defending them, Robert. Are you?
Who? Defending who?
Them.
You know, we, as I said before, we're related to them. And, you know, the caller just said it himself. It's right there in the Bible. We, you know, which is it's a more recent transcription of the Sumerian tablets that Sitchin talks about. And I know that's controversial, but, you know, whether they created us or not, we're all related to one Creator. And I'm just saying that we need to have a dialogue with them, even if, including the bad guys. I think that plays to their strength, is as long as we keep things secret. I mean, there's no place you can go with this, all right? There's no official agency that you can call in and actually get any kind of response to do anything about this.
You don't think it could backfire if you're trying to negotiate with the evil ones?
Well, the one thing that they don't like is to be exposed. They really don't like that at all. You know, one show we did about that, most of the emails were from people confirming what I had said. There was one person that claimed he represented the Archons, and he was extremely pissed off at me for daring to expose who do you think you are? You know, we're superior to you and all this nonsense. Well, prove it. What makes you think that? I mean, come on. And you know, at some point, I realized getting upset with that guy is exactly what he wanted.
Let's go to Luke. Well, go ahead, finish up, and we'll take some more calls.
I don't want to give into it. I'm not defending anybody, and I certainly don't want to offend anyone, because this is a very sensitive subject. I'm just glad we're at least having a dialogue about it, because I don't know what else to do at this point.
Luke, Indianapolis on our Skype line. Go ahead, Luke.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hi, Luke. Go ahead.
I'll be real quick. I guess I'm probably going to piss off a few callers before, but as they were speaking, I decided to type some responses. So because of the two callers ago's desire to see us eye to eye, we've become one with the human species. We are really no different than yourselves as space travelers, and we do have the ability to see the here and the now and the past and the future. Some are good, some are bad. Like a simple magnet, there are positive poles and negative poles. Another comment that I have to add is that my particular energy and those like me are here to save you from the evil ones amongst us, and they are more powerful. We are more powerful, but those who express it are the evil ones. Those who remain in hiding as myself, I guess it's time for us to come out. Our kind doesn't steal babies. We come to the humanoid existence with a pure and spiritual thought and intent.
Where were you created, Luke? Were you born here or there and brought here?
I am very much, you know, I look just like my mom. I'm a normal person. I had to use some anonymity because I actually speak professionally about my particular subject matter that I've chosen as a career. But what had come to me recently was a statement. First of all, I'm clairvoyant, and I do practice PK and telepathy.
Mm-hmm.
I prefer to speak to use telepathy because it's just a much more efficient way we all actually have that ability. When I say we, just humans, this energy, not even humans, the dogs, for example. I speak regularly to my dog. She tells me when she needs to go outside and go pee, her, number two, and I listen. Over the years, I've started to listen to this more and more, and then a statement came out, and I'll read it to you that I typed to the caller or to the screener, was that I had heard something on TV or watching TV, and sometimes energies come through me, and I know it's not, me, but I just have to let it go and let it be spoken. So I had made a statement that I have components that are not from this world, and better yet, that I'm partly mechanical. I spoke very confidently of this, and that I was a superior being to what I was seeing on TV, and that was a bit shocking to me, first of all.
And you look human?
Oh, yeah. I'm happy to show you on video chat. I mean, I'm human as it can be.
We'd love to see a picture of you that we could post on the coasttocoastam.com website. Robert, thank you. Robert's website, unicusmagazine.com. Linked up at coasttocoastam.com as well. Also a noted author, along with his research, Covert Encounters in Washington, D.C., Close Encounters on Capitol Hill. And there you have it. Finally, right at the end, a E.T. human, a covert E.T. human calling into the show. For Dan Galante, Will Wilkerson, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Timothy Banal, Stephanie Smith, George Knapp, John B. Wells, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell. I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM, we'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.